Hallelujah. Well, that was weak. Hallelujah. You don't mind if I shout a little bit. Sort of stir myself sometimes. The scripture says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout. So, coming from a Southern Baptist background, we weren't very much shouters when I grew up in our church. And I slowly became a shouter through the years, as my soul became freer all the time. I just want to say a thank you to my wife this morning. You know, that she's, next week we'll be married 43 years. And for our honeymoon, we went to work on a kibbutz, making $10 a month. Hoeing weeds in between the cotton fields in Ben Gurion with hoes that weren't, handles were about those that long in those days. So it was a little bit of a tortuous work, and of course, but you made $10 a month and two packs of cigarettes a week, which I was too spiritual in those days to take the cigarettes and sell them. So I said, no, I won't do that. And two rolls of toilet paper a week, which came in very handy. And we sort of lived in what in that kibbutz, later on they burned those quarters down that we lived in 1975. They burned them to the ground because they said they were so awful. And so some volunteers literally set them all on fire and burned them to the ground a few years after we left. So we have some history here. I was going to bring a picture of Danny to show on the screens this morning as I looked at it last night, sort of looking through pictures, and I decided I wouldn't do that. We were in German colony, I don't know what year it was, and I looked through the picture and I saw Jonathan and David Sketty. Jonathan's friends, his parents were from kibbutz days in 75, and David lives around the corner from us. He's a major in the Israeli Defense Forces at our house last week. And there was David Darg, who's Christine Darg's son. Some of you may know David's the head of the 700 Club International Operation Blessing, and going to where things are, Haiti, and going to Japan and going to various places, taking food and clothing there. And David was in that picture. And then my sons, Israel, Judah, and Michael were in the picture. And there was Danny in all of his glory. He was about that tall with his bathing suit. They all had their bathing suits on. They'd been playing out in the sprinkler or water in front of our little garden there in German colony. And, you know, Danny talks there a little bit about family, you know, considering us all family. How many of you look at Facebook ever? Oh, okay. Rest of you liars, raise your hands. Yeah, I don't want to spend lots of time on it, but I do spend lots of time on it. You know, so the deal of reconnecting with people around the world, and actually people that I grew up with, et cetera, reconnect with a lot of peoples. And, you know, there's a lot of little funny sayings. And so Danny just talking about family, that nobody here was normal or anything. So I picked this off yesterday or day before. It said, the doctor asked if any of my family suffered from mental illness. I said, no, they all seemed to enjoy it and not suffer at all. So, you know, that's what the family here in Arkies, you know, they all seem, nobody suffers from it. They all enjoy it. Yeah. The title of my message for today is A Few Words from God. And I'll maybe get to my scripture here in a little bit. It's been maybe 21 years since I stood in this pulpit, because we were out for 20 years. And actually, you know, I really always like to acknowledge Chuck and Liz, because they were influential in our lives. In fact, I knew about Chuck years before he ever knew who I was, through Victorine Cheek and Dorothy Whitner, who were just an old couple of missionary ladies who, I think, adopted about 18 or 20 kids through their years when they lived here. Starting back, I think, in 1949 or something like that. We were at a big church many years ago in 78, and they were happened to be sitting behind us out of a few thousand people, and the pastor knew, this is Victorine Cheek and Dorothy Whitner. They're from Israel. They just happened to be sitting behind us, and we turned around and started talking to them, and it had been a few years since we've been on kibbutz, but feeling a call from God. How many of you have felt like you have a call from God to this nation? Well, I've got two. Okay, there we go. How did it come to you? Visions, dreams, word from God through Scripture. You know, it generally comes to all of us in a sort of different way. But I want to say today that we are designed to hear from God. We are designed to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to us through Scripture, through visions, through dreams, through a still, small voice speaking in our inner man. I've never heard the voice of God audibly, but I've heard it so loud inside sometimes it was echoing and deafening. And other times it's just the still, small voice. The still, small voice. And I believe that we can trust in just a few words. We don't have to have 1,000 words. We can have just a few words from God. And as Danny talks about sort of the crazy people, non-normal here, that even through the years is that they just heard a few words. They left home. They left country. Many times they leave family. They go to other nations. They quit jobs. Can we quit jobs and just take off? Can we? We can, can't we? We can just take off if we want to walk in obedience to the Lord. And that's where the non-normal comes in. Because 95% of believers are not going to take off. They're not going to leave their jobs. They're not going to leave their homes, family, country, to follow the voice of God. But we were designed to do that. And we hear His voice clearly. We came back this time. We're leaving 5 children, 14 grandchildren, and 1 great-grandchild. It sort of makes me old, I feel, a little bit. But, you know, just leaving again because we had a few words from God in September 2015. It was preparations words a year before, and God said, go back. September 2016. Go back. Every year I prayed. I knew we'd been returning. We have a couple of unfinished visions for this nation. But every year I knew we'd be returning. Every year I'd pray and I'd always hear astounding voices from God and say, not yet. So next year, seeking the Lord and fasting and prayer, and He'd always speak, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. And sometimes He just says, not yet. Or He says, no. For us, it's always been that not yet for the last 20 years. Though we've come back and forth several times, did a tour with Yoni about, 10 or 11 years ago, and a bunch of students from Christ for Nations Institute, and my son Michael and I came back here and made a few trips back and forth. But generally to shift our life once again was a word, not yet, just a few words. I heard the voice first when I was 6 years old. I believe little children can hear the voice of God inside them calling them to ministry, calling them to Jesus, calling them to some place to do something somewhere. Little children. I remember very distinctly there was a Spanish evangelist from Mexico. His name was Angel Martinez. And he grew up on the streets of Mexico. And I was 6 years old. I was in First Baptist Church of Carlsbad, New Mexico. And we were going to the revival that was taking place every night. And the first night I started to having this gnawing feeling in me, and every time it was coming to where he was going to give an invitation for salvation, I could hear the voice of God inside me go down. But I didn't respond to going down. Fear, I don't know what, as a six-year-old, fear of going down, and the church was probably 400 or 500 people packed out. But fear of going down. So the next time was 6 years later, when I was 12 years old. If we don't respond in obedience, lots of times that voice just sort of goes back into the background for a while. Although I feel God is always speaking, yet the still small voice sometimes went back into the background. When I was 12 years old, we had a new pastor come to our congregation, which shifted back to the town I was born in West Texas. And his name was Young Tucker, and he was just out of seminary, and he was a hot and fiery preacher. And they had more people saved that year than they had in the previous 5 years, and they fired him after the first year. I think he was just a little too hot, but I can remember gripping the back of the pew and dreading, because 12 by 12, oh my goodness, I'm full of sin by 12. Some people might have been totally innocent by 12, but I wasn't innocent at 12. And so I remember grabbing the back of the pew because he kept giving invitations every Sunday, and it was a spring. Oh, when would that have been? 1958. Spring of 1958. Gripping the back of that pew every Sunday as he gave an invitation for salvation. And finally, after 6 or 7 weeks, I just couldn't stand it anymore. So one Sunday morning, I just ran down to the front and gave my life to Christ, baptized in the same day, talked to the pastor, said, I feel like I have a call to ministries. That's nice. Living like the devil till I'm 18. Going to church many, many times by myself on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. Trying to recapture that salvation experience in my emotions, but not seeming to be able to recapture. So at 18, I just walked out. I said, I'm finished with the church. I can't live the life. So I will not be a hypocrite because I can't live the life. I'm leaving. It was a few years later, my mother was in a meeting where they talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then my father at that time was very crippled, walked like this. And my mother drug him to a woman's meeting in Dallas called Catherine Kuhlman, who was a healer. And my father, she drug him, literally. He didn't go in any kind of faith. He just went because my mother was dragging him. He had arthritic spine. He was bowed over. His knees, his ankles were bad shape. And so she drags him there. Catherine Kuhlman says, there's a man who has an arthritic spine. The heat of God is hitting your head and going through your spine. My dad felt this heat hit his head. He had no faith, no belief towards it. But God moves past sometimes our own faith, our own understanding, to reveal himself to us. And his back was healed in an instant of time. But his knees and ankles were still the same. Strange how God does things sometimes. And so my father began to read the Bible and basically made a fresh commitment of his life to the Lord and said, God, you're a healing God. You heal my back, you'll heal the rest of me. In about 6 months, all of it disappeared. His heart situations disappeared. My mother and dad both had had heart attacks. They've been given, my dad actually been given a couple of years to live. And I think, what did he die about 25 years later? Anyway, doctors don't know everything. Can I get a weak amen for that? They don't know the Bible, do they? They don't know that we have a healing God. There's a general will of God. The Bible gives us the general will of God for our lives. It tells us about probably every subject that involves our natural and our spiritual life. Talks about marriage, talks about sex, child rearing, finances, relationships with unbeliever, bodily exercise, the Holy Spirit, how to pray, fasting, meaning of life, meaning of heaven, meaning of hell. I mean, the Bible, that which is written, contains the general will of God for everybody's life. Can I have an amen on that? And if we're having problems in any kind of specific area, we can just go to Scripture and say, this is the will of God. The Holy Spirit never ministers anything outside of the Word of God to us. Although I've known some people in the past who said, you know, that's exactly what God did, told them to leave. I had a young guy who was leading worship for us here in Jerusalem for about 6 months, and he had a wife and two children, and he was in sort of a sticky situation, which we got him out of, and then he stayed with us for about 6 months and went back to the States. And then a year or two later, I heard that he'd left his wife and ran off with another woman. Lost track of him until this last year. So about 25 years later, I saw him on Facebook, and he had actually contacted me. He had changed his name. I knew when he's left his wife and two kids that he had basically left them. When I say left, he disappeared. And they didn't know where he was for a long time. She eventually divorced him. But now he has another totally new name. He has a new name, lives in a different state, involved with ministry, involved with a sort of a Jewish home group, leads worship, etc. And he had written me, would I start sending some steady support to him? I did say no. Not because he's not redeemable again, you know, but because of just the way he's done it, that he took another name totally. He disappeared. It went on and on and on. And he would tell you that God led him to do that. God led him to do that. Of course, I heard the joke about a man who was 60 years old, and he said God told him to divorce his wife. And when they said, well, what are you going to do now? He said, well, she's 60. Now I'm going to get me 320s. And said, no, I don't think so. Doesn't line up with the Word of God. Turn on your Bibles to the book of Acts, 16th chapter. And God not only speaks to us through His Word, He speaks to us through the still small voice and leads us into what I would say is the personal revealed will of God. The personal revealed will of God. We not only have this general will of God for our lives, we have the revealed will of God for us personally, to be led, to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And so I want to maybe refer up to set a background for the story. Paul and Barnabas were going back to visit churches that they'd established, but Barnabas was determined to take John, call Mark. I'm just sort of looking at the story above. Paul insisted they should not take him with him. And so they had contention. Then the contention became so sharp they departed from one another. Barnabas took Mark, sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas, departed, being commended to the brethren by the grace of God. And so, you know, if there's ever a division among leaderships who are strong leaders, I would say, well, that's a very scriptural thing. I can turn right here. Here were two men who were strong leaders, both felt that they should take somebody different with them and go another direction. And so they sort of split. Then, of course, later on, they team up more times and maybe settle this. So sometimes it's not such a bad thing. It maybe multiplied their forces. But I really got to verse 16, verse 1. And he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who was who believed. His father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted to have him go with him. And he took him, and he circumcised him because of the Jews that were in that region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. I would not say this is the norm, but Paul saw that there was a need there. And they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. And when they'd gone through the region of Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Well, we have some really strong personal revelation here. God is forbidding them to preach the gospel in a certain place. Though we could say that God's written word is sending you out everywhere, and so Paul is going out everywhere, but yet when he tries to go into this area in Asia, says the Holy Spirit. They were told by the Holy Spirit, don't go there. Don't go there. It's forbidden for you to go there. And so Paul, following the general will of God, is continuing on. So after they come to Mysia, and they were going into Bithynia, the Spirit did not permit them. They're trying to go somewhere else to preach the gospel. But the Holy Spirit, in His personal revealed will for their life, speaks a word unto them. I'm not permitting you to go there either. Forbidden? Not permitted? Which seems to be in contradictory terms to that which is written. And yet, it wasn't at that time. It was a few words from God, and we'll continue on. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in a night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. A vision in the night. A few words from a man. I have a feeling that it had to be something there about the man, about his language, about his appearance and everything in Macedonia, so that Paul recognizes exactly where it is, you know, that he's to go. And he says, come over to Macedonia and help us. How many words there? Just seven words. Just seven words, a few words from God. And Paul has divine personal will revelation. Divine personal real revelation. And now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Can we live our lives out of that? Can we quit the job, shift to a new city, new country, just because God speaks seven words to us? Well, I want to say loudly and clearly, yes and amen. We can shift jobs, shift countries, shift nations, shift all kinds of directions because God speaks seven words, just a few words to us. We can live out of that. We can live out of it. I would say now I speak from a little more experience than I did 43 years ago when we first started this little shift and we got married and we came to Kibbutz Einot near Petah Tikva and worked there through the summer. And I had left, was an engineer in the oil field, still been involved in drilling for oil for on and off through the years, started companies, been broke, lost things, and still know that God has some direction even in that in my life at my age. But I gave up a business. I gave up everything I had, and I came to a Bible school, Christ for Nations Institute, in 1974. Because the Lord gave me a few words. A few words. Having been raised in Texas, I bought my first car when I was 14 years old. because in those days you could get a driver's license in Texas at 14. It was a 1949 Mercury flathead V8. And most of you don't know what that is. But if you ever saw the original, what was that movie that Sylvester Stallone acted in? He had a 49 Mercury flathead V8, which was souped up. And so that was my first car. I paid $225 for it, which I had earned during the summertime working, because I think by the time I was 11, we always had summertime jobs. My father was deadly on that. If you want to have some money, you go to work. You're 11? Well, sure, get out there and get you a job somewhere. And so at 11, was always, every summer, it's always summer jobs. And so where was I actually going with that? Can we shift? Can we shift when God speaks? Can we shift? It was quite a few years later then that heard the voice saying to go to Israel. But it had come to me through Scripture. In the spring, in the winter of 1974, I helped the Lord keep waking me up two or three times a week, and he would say, read Ezekiel 2, 3, and 33. I would read it over and over. I would get nothing out of it except there was something there called the watchman for the house of Israel. That went on until I went to Bible school. And when I was going to Bible school, two or three nights a week, here would come the voice of the Lord, 2 o'clock in the morning, get up, get up. Have you ever heard the voice of the Lord in the middle of the night say, get up, get up. And so I'll get up, and I would go back and read those scriptures. I would definitively see it was watchman for the house of Israel, but I thought watchman for the house of Israel is the church. That's the church. And we were youth ministers in a congregation in Dallas at that time, so it's the church. But in January of 1975, we had a little school newspaper, which was just one printed page, and the Hebrew teacher wrote on there, anyone interested in going to Israel for the summer and living on a kibbutz? Contact, the guy's name was Paul Moser, and it said, Ezekiel 2, 3, 33, watchman for the house of Israel. And all of a sudden, watchman for the house of Israel took a completely new turn. I said, you're talking about Israel, the nation of Israel, not just the church at that time. And so out of that came an instant shift once again. So we spent that first summer, as I told you before. But it came out of a few words, watchman for the house of Israel. God's probably spoken to everyone here at different times out of just a few words. Out of those few words, we've continued to live the last 42 years in and out of this nation. And now, in a couple of months, I'll be 71, and we shifted again. Well, when do you stop shifting? You never stop shifting. You never stop listening to a few words from God. When he speaks, you can go. You can trust in what he says. If he speaks, he will give you guidance. If he speaks, he will give you provision. He will give you connections when he speaks. It was the same thing out of words that it was the fall of 1974. I was at Bible school, and a man named Fred Price out of California was speaking. And when I was sitting there by outside hill, he said, one day I'll stand right there. He said, what? I said, I don't know. Holy Spirit said, one day you'll stand right there. Well, I did stand right there, but it was like 28 or 30 years later. As those Zenith students and teaching out of that pulpit for a short while only. But it was fulfillment. I never made, in fact, I was at that school 3 months before they called me and said, you got to fill out an application and go to work here. You just came in all of a sudden and boom, everything moved very quickly. Sometimes it takes 20, 30, 40 years to work out the words of God in your life. Sometimes it's here a little and there a little. You'll fulfill a few things here. you'll hear a voice saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. In the same period of time, the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, you're going to come back to Jerusalem. You're going to travel from Jerusalem to the nations. Didn't start that for 22 more years. Until about 1986, and we just started in England and Scotland. Then it seemed like it continued to go on through the years into just the many nations of Europe and then Mexico. And last year, a couple of years ago, Helen was in Vietnam and in the middle of the night passing out tracts and feeding people in the middle of the night in Ho Chi Minh City and in Cambodia, going down rivers and preaching on boats, house church boats, in Korea and Malaysia, following the voice of God. Out of that, we spent lots of time in Romania, establishing a Christ for Nations Bible School there 19 years ago. In fact, just heard from the director yesterday. He sent me a little video of a clip. He said, there's like 7 acres here. We want to build the new school out there. And we went there and helped get that school established, stayed for a while, traveled throughout Romania many, 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 many times. Helen went to hold a conference there 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, a women's pastors conference. They thought they'd have 40 to 60 women. They had 200 pastors' wives show up for that little conference. And, you know, we hear a few words from God, and God has these divine plans, and he has his divine connections for our life on just a few words. We can trust in just a few words from God. A few words from God. A few words. There was a man named Jacob. I love Jacob. Love his story. And he had meetings with God in Bethel, which he called the house of God. He had meetings where? In the house of God. And he goes back to Bethel, and then he has visions and dreams, and he has more words from God. And God changes his name from Jacob to Israel after a long season of time. Deuteronomy 29:29 said, secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed, Gelah, belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Secret things are revealed. I like it said, reveal. The song, reveal, reveal. There is divine revelation that comes to our lives from the Holy Spirit. It's revealed. It's the revealed will of God. It may come at one season. It may come in interspersed seasons of your life that God reveals himself to you. And he gives you a few words. Reveal. Reveal. We as believers are designed to hear the voice of God. I just want to turn to maybe one other scripture in John, the 10th chapter. Jesus says, and verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door to the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. He that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep, hear his voice. We are designed, the sheep are designed to hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name. The same way he spoke to Jacob and said, you're no longer going to be Jacob, you're going to be Israel. Jesus calls his sheep by name. He knows every one of you where you're at this morning. He knows the struggles of your heart. He knows that you may have followed the Word of God and there's been a resistance and struggle. If you follow the Word of God, examine Paul's life. Resistance and struggle. Resistance and struggle by following the Word of God. Why doesn't God just make it easy? I don't know. I've asked him that a few times. Why don't you just make this thing easy? Instead of making it so hard and having resistance on every corner. It's because he's working in with patience. He's working faith with inside of us. He's working all of the fruit of his spirit within inside of us. And it takes time, some time. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. and leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goes before them. If God's called you, given a few words, even before you leave, he's already going before you. He is already going before you, making a path clear for you. Although, when you get into it, you may not think it's a very clear path. And yet, he is going before you. There's probably all kinds of things that could have happened to you that didn't happen to you because he went before you. For when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Not only were we designed to follow that voice, we actually, if we spend any time in his word and in his presence, then we begin to know the voice. You know the voice, and it gets stronger and stronger. I don't know how to even really say this correctly. My assurance and solidity in my relationship with Christ, I would say over the last 5 years, has taken on such a total new dimension in my life that I not only feel I have no doubt anymore about anything in following his voice, and I feel like I am solidly grounded here. I will not be moved by anything. I will follow and obey. It's not just the following and hearing, it's then the obedience. The obedience to go out and do what his voice says. And that's what Paul was doing. Just a few words from God, and immediately perceived that the Lord was leading him and guiding him, and immediately says, let's go out to Macedonia. God has spoken. God has spoken. Hebrews 3:7 says, wherefore, even as the Holy Spirit says today, if you'll hear his voice. Today, if you'll hear his voice. Albert Einstein said, a ship's always safe at the shore. But that's not what the ship was built for. The ship is built to go to the sea, in the storms and in the calm. Take the risk. Venture out. Do what God built you for. And if you're doing it, continue. It may take all your life to be worked out. But if you follow him, you'll find that along the way, God does some extraordinary things through you and for you. Some things he just adds some blessings along the way that you weren't even expecting at all. You weren't praying about them. You weren't expecting them. And all of a sudden, it's the showers of blessing just sort of fall on you as you go. I could name many instances as we're going. I'll maybe close with this. The last year we were here was not a good year. Helen started to go in blind very quickly. We had people rented a house we had leased out, stole our furniture, took off, didn't pay bills. I had a new van we've been praying for 5 or 6 years and left with Chuck and Liz. And it disappeared out of their driveway. I made 8 trips back and forth that year. The insurance refused to pay. I got a lawyer. He wanted $3,000 up front. Eventually, got a court date for 2 more years later. So I said, well, I guess we're going to have to settle with the insurance. So we did settle with the insurance. And then the lawyer took another $4,000 for himself just because he had got the check first. And then, of course, all the full taxes wasn't paid, so another $12,000 went out to the government, and I owed $7,000 or $8,000 to the travel agency, and so I think we walked away with $500 out of the new VW van that was a year old. Wasn't really a good year. So a year later, Helen and I, we had packed our stuff up here, put it in storage. We thought we'd be back in a year. We felt sure we'd be back in 1 year. We'll be back to Israel. We'll be back in a year. Yeah, it was an extra 19 on top of that year. We were driving. I was preaching little churches across America, and we were coming out of Carlsbad, New Mexico, one afternoon, and I said, we're just talking about our life in general, and our life in general was this, you know, getting $500 a week preaching at churches doesn't carry us far when our expenses are $2,500. So we were driving, and Helen said, you know, I had a strange dream last night. I said, what? And she mentioned a certain pastor and said, he was calling you and asking what you need. And I said, really? That's strange, because the man had been mad at us for 2.5 years and hadn't spoken to us. Helen said, Helen's always done me good. She's getting me in trouble with people or making favor for me. She had made this pastor really mad, and so he quit supporting us and didn't talk to us anymore. And then she said, I had this dream last night. This pastor was calling you, asked you, have what need out of you? What do you have need of? And so it's a strange dream. And we got home, and boom, this pastor's secretary was calling us. Just as the dream came along, got on the phone with the man and talked with him. I said, where are you going? I told him where I was going to be the next day, which just happened to be his city. He said, well, come by the office. And went in there, and within 5 minutes, he said, what do you have need of? And when we came, I had prepared two lists. I had not made debts. I don't know, for 20 years, I'd never made a debt. And so I had written two lists. But then we were $96,000 in debt in 1 year. And I made two lists. One had $27,000 worth of debts on it. The other one had a listing of all of our bills and everything that was going on at the time. It was amounted to $96,000. And Helen said, what are you going to do? I'm debating. Got the little list here. Got the big list here. What am I going to do? Got the little list, the big list. This man will think we're crazy if we show him this thing for $96,000. He'll think we're nuts. And so, you know, it was another debate of faith. And so we went into his office. He talked to us for a few minutes, and he said, well, I need y'all to pray for me. He said, something don't happen, I'll be dead in a couple of months. And he was dead in a couple of months. And as we talked, he says, what do you have need of? And, oh, that was the dream. What was the dream? What do you have need of? A few words. What do you have need of? And so I picked out the list with $96,000 on it, and I handed it to him. And he looked at that and said, you're handing me a list with a list of debts for $96,000? I said, yes. He reached over his telephone and he picked it up and said, Joyce, he said, write Mike and Helen a check for $100,000. Hung up the phone. We prayed for him, walked out. He was dead 2 months later, but we did have the check for $100,000 and paid off all those bills in an instant of time. Just on a few words from God. We can live out of a few words. Why don't we just stand together right now, and we'll close out. Sorry for taking so much of your time. I don't exactly know how much it was. It's okay? Okay. If Helen says it's okay, it's okay. A few people left, but anyway. Let's just close our eyes. Think about the few words you have had from God that are still applicable to your life today. Maybe they seemed outrageous. Maybe there's been a lot of resistance to those words. But just meditate on those words. The personal, revealed Word of God through a few words is dynamically real. It begins in the Spirit, confirmed through the Word, and can change everything in an instant of time. God can change everything in an instant of time. Thank you, Father, for your personal, revealed Word to us, Father. Father, I thank you that we can live out of those words. We can follow those words. We can change cities and jobs and houses and nations. And we can actually go in and sometimes change a nation. change a nation. Thank you for your provision that comes with those words now. I ask you just to encourage everyone with what you've spoken to them right now. Bring your encouragement, I pray, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. If you, as Liz is playing, if you feel like you still need maybe some more.